Welcome, 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 my EE compatriots. This here is another fantastic episode of Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry, brought to you by EEjournal.com and hosted by me, Amelia Dalton. And yes, we are talking about one of my favorite subjects of all time this week. The Portland Trailblazers. Now, what do you think about that big man Nurk? And do you think we need another star in the lineup? I mean, I don't, but okay, fine. Actually, we're not talking about the Portland Trailblazers today, but instead, we are talking about maybe my second favorite subject of all time. Artificial intelligence. My guest today is Ron Lohman from Synopsys, who recently wrote a technical paper called The DNA of an Artificial Intelligence SoC. Ron and I are chatting about similarities inherent in AI chip design, the challenges of the multiple subsegments of AI, and what the next couple years hold for our AI chip design progress. Let's go. Hi, Ron. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, so we are here today to talk about the DNA of an artificial intelligence SoC. But Ron, do you think most AI chip designs are similar?
Well, actually, there's a huge range of different types of chipsets, ranging from speech recognition to vision to identifying large patterns in large databases. So there's a ton of different applications, and so there are several different types of challenges with each of those applications. But for the most part, you can summarize some of the key challenges around, of course, the processing of AI, the math and the algorithms. Secondly, all the memory and how do you handle bottlenecks there. Third, having real-time interconnect to the real world, right? You got to have some sort of sensing information, especially at the edge.
Sure, that makes sense. So considering the multiple subsegments of AI, including voice, vision, etc., do you think there are common problems throughout these subsegments, or are each of them completely different?
Yeah, very common problems. So around the memories and the processors and the real-time interfaces are pretty common, but there's a lot of unique challenges to each of those algorithms. You know, they, of course, all want to reduce the amount of power, but they all have different types of accuracy that's needed. There's a different size of algorithms. There's different math that's run. There's different throughput that they have to handle through the internal or external buses. The architectures of the system can change. Sometimes it's an accelerator. Sometimes it's an integrated processor that handles, you know, really heterogeneous compute. And the whole AI algorithm itself is heterogeneous compute, and it changes from algorithm to algorithm. And of course, that dictates what the SoC will look like. So there's some common problems, but there's some unique challenges on how you architect each of the solutions. And so I find that really fascinating because you're starting to see more vertical implementations. You know, you see consumer companies and large vertically integrated companies realize that they need to design the hardware and understand it.
Absolutely. Okay, let's talk a little bit about your designware IP for artificial intelligence. Now, I would assume that there are specific features in this IP that enable AI, right?
Yeah, of course. So starting at the processor side, we've developed some embedded vision processing capabilities. We have some embedded vision processors. So that's really the first start. So we have those in our portfolio. We continue to make investments there and expand the different options there. It's not just one processor. You also have to have flexibility in that processing. Like I said, it's a heterogeneous compute problem. So you're not just doing massive matrix multiplication. You're also doing some vector DSP. You're doing some scalar processing. There's a set of requirements on the processing side. Beyond that, we've invested in some critical interface IP. Just as an example, of course, we have our MIPI interface that directly will connect CMOS image sensors for vision applications. But we also have memory interfaces that we've introduced, like HBM2 for massive amounts of data to be transferred to the chip. HBM2 is a very effective memory interface because its power consumption in terms of picojoules per bit is very effective. And then lastly, but not least, we have a set of foundation IP, and we've put special features in our memory compilers and logic libraries, including special math capabilities, as well as addressable memories, multi-port memories. And so a lot of these things are incredibly important to the new architectures that you're seeing in next-generation chipsets that incorporate AI.
All right, Ron, let's talk about the future. Time to get out your AI crystal ball. Now, what kind of new challenges or problems do you think we will face in 1920 and beyond?
So a majority of the AI chipsets that have been introduced have really tackled the challenge of both training and inference. But I think moving forward on the inference side, this is the real-time input of recognizing objects and recognizing voice. It's really understanding how to architect the inference for power optimization. What is good enough for the application? What's the minimal amount of memory that you can get away with? How do you scale the size of your pipes, in, if you will, in your chipset to move that data effectively from the processor to the memory, all around the chip and all around the system? And I think, you know, we're just starting to scratch the surface. That's really the big challenge on the hardware side. But on the software side, we're seeing a huge advancement of the algorithms itself, right? People are trying to figure out how to do AI with, you know, not 64-bit floating point calculations, but with 8-bit integer and even less than that, single-bit integer. And they're not just using massive matrix multiplication or neural network math to do it. There's a lot of different types of math. So there's a lot of advancement not only in the hardware and the software side, but also the math itself. So those are kind of the challenges that I see really developing over the next few years. And the challenge on scaling that to the application, it's going to be really interesting on how companies try to do that, because they need to remain flexible, right? It's not going to be one solution or one algorithm that solves all their problems. We'll have to have some flexibility. But of course, the more flexibility, of course, it's not quite optimized as much as it may be able to. So there's always that dynamic.
Absolutely. That makes sense. Okay, Ron, it is time for your off-the-cuff question. Now, I know you are a basketball and soccer coach for little kids in your spare time. So what's one thing that you've learned by coaching these little kids that is applicable to the rest of your life?
Yeah, I guess two things. I guess the first thing I've learned is experience matters, right? Trying to understand what the kids and how they learn and what they learn is really important going into it. I know my first game as a basketball coach was a little difficult with my team. None of them had played before. So you learn from those things. And secondly, keep it simple, right? And I think that goes with everything is keep it simple and build upon that. And, you know, it's true with coaching kids, whether it be soccer or basketball, which I really enjoy, or doing artificial intelligence and next generation chipsets. So it all plays together.
Perfect. Well, I think that's all I have time for today, Ron. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you.
So what else can AI do? Can it find patterns in global chaos? DARPA thinks so. So DARPA has created a new program called Kairos, whose goal it is to create a machine learning system that can sift through the innumerable events and pieces of media generated every day and identify any threads of connection or narrative in them. So Kairos actually stands for Knowledge Directed Artificial Intelligence Reasoning Over Schemas. Okay, so before we go any further, let's review that last word, schema. Now, according to Merriam-Webster, schema is a mental codification of experience that includes a particular organized way of perceiving cognitively and responding to a complex situation or set of stimuli. Sounds a bit like something from that philosophy class I took in college. They said it was going to be easy, but it was not. Okay, so in less complicated terms, basically it means how we as humans create stories of connected events to understand the world around us. A good example of a schema is, say, cooking a spaghetti meal for your family. First, you have to buy the ingredients at the store. That's actually a whole other schema there, but first you put the water on to boil, add a little salt, work on the pasta sauce. There are many steps to the schema for a truly wonderful home-cooked meal, and most of us understand the whole process. But most of us is not AI. These types of interlinked stories are actually quite difficult to determine formally in a way that a computer system can understand. Now, spaghetti is one thing, but with more data, this schema identification issue gets worse, not better. We can teach a computer how to put together a decent bowl of spaghetti, but what about recognizing a bear market versus a bull market, or knowing that a Cold War is brewing? Well, that's where DARPA comes in. Now, how exactly are they going to teach these very complex human storytelling techniques to a computer? With Kairos and a whole lot of help from a lot of humans. That's how. Now, the goal of Kairos is to develop a semi-automated system capable of identifying and drawing correlations between seemingly unrelated events or data, helping to inform or create broad narratives about the world around us. Okay, great. But as they point out in the Associated Press release, this is not going to be easy. DARPA says that the process of uncovering relevant connections across mountains of information and the static elements that they underlie requires temporal information and event patterns, which can be difficult to capture at scale with currently available tools and systems. Okay, so Kairos does have the ultimate goal of having AI teach itself how to identify schemas. But for now, these schemas must be identified and checked and rechecked by humans. Now, this program certainly has a long way to go, but the first step is to create a virtual laundry list. Another schema, laundry, of course, for Kairos to work on by ingesting a bunch of different data to build a library of basic schemas. And then from there, larger, more hard-to-describe schemas may arise, like racism, love, stuff like that. Now, I can definitely see why DARPA is interested in a program like this. Maybe a computer could tell us when a terrorist chemical attack is being planned by sifting through news and social media. So DARPA held its first Kairos Proposers Day earlier this month. But if you're interested in weighing in on this first-of-its-kind AI program, or maybe if you just want to know a little bit more about the details of this project, I've included a couple links below the player on this week's Fish Fryin' page on eejournal.com. Now, I think DARPA has a long way to go for this AI schema plan, but we'll just have to see, won't we? Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. If Twitter is your thing, well, sure, you can follow us at EE Journal TFM. And maybe if LinkedIn is more your bag, well, sure, you can follow us on LinkedIn as well. And we have a YouTube channel, keyword EE Journal. Folks, it is chock full of all kinds of super cool techie videos, including our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series hosted by yours truly. And by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Fryin' page, you can also check out our Fish Fry archive or subscribe to Fish Fry via the iTunes Store. And remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, just head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Fryin' page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, any fun EE conference coming up that I absolutely should attend, or even the best geeky hotspot in your city, I particularly like pinball. Just keep that in mind. Just shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of January 18th, 2019, I'm Amelia Dalton. And you've been fried.